Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has finally come down between Jew and Gentile. And this is so exciting. It allows the full manifestation of the presence of God. That's why Paul got so excited in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, where he talks about the reason Jesus came was to break down that middle wall of separation to form one new man. And in the Greek, it's one new humanity, one new species of being for the full dwelling place of God. And I am announcing to you, this is God's time where he's having mercy on Jewish people. And when the Jewish person and the Gentile merge into the one new man, the full presence of God, you're going to see the same works that Jesus has done. And I believe that even greater is ready to happen. And I'm talking to Mel Bond on the telephone. And Mel, in 1978, you had a vision from heaven. Tell me about that.
Well, that was November the 14th, 1978, and that was a Tuesday evening. I went to bed at night, and as soon as I went to bed, that an angel came into my room. It was like I wasn't allowed to see his or her face, and they reached down their right hand, grabbed a hold of my right hand, and I stood up, and we started going up to heaven. I can remember looking back, and I seen my bed. I seen my body still laying in the bed, and I went to heaven. And when I went to heaven, within just like a second, and I seen an angel. And there's a lot of things. It would take me a long time to go over everything, but the major point or focus was for me being there was this angel looked at me and told me that there's a lot of people. Now, his words were this: there's a lot of people that are not going to make it if they don't learn to walk in love. But if you're ever in the presence of an angel or in Jesus, that sometimes there's no words even spoken, and but volumes of information goes forth. And so I knew in my spirit what this angel was saying, that here I was a pastor, and that I'm not going to make the rapture if I don't learn to walk in love, that I was preaching the letter but not the spirit, that God is love. And I was preaching a lot of condemnation and damnation, but not the love of God.
Yeah, but isn't it the love of God to warn people when they're in sin?
Well, you absolutely. But at the same time, what's the nature of a person's heart? My heart wasn't right. I was.
You were more legalistic than having such compassion that you didn't want to see that person miss heaven.
It was probably more out of anger than it was preaching out of love. And so anyway, that's what took place. And of course, since that particular time, it just seems like every time I open the Bible that I read the Word of God highly saturated with the love of God, even if it talks about things that are wrong, like homosexuality and lesbianism. That's wrong. That's a demonic last days, heavy, heavy demonic spirit. And but we can tell people about this with the love of God, that we don't want them to miss out on God's best here on this earth. And we certainly don't want them to miss out on eternity in heaven. And so we can say that with love and compassion, and our hearts grieved. And that's the way that we should.
So you've been practicing walking in love since 1978. Is that the reason that I feel such a strong presence of God as you're speaking? Do you believe that?
Well, I would say because God is love. And the more we walk in God's love, and one of the things that I find, too, as you study the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion, and then that's how he did miracles. And so it's like the love of God is the power of God. If you show me any person that has a lot of miracles in their ministry, I'll show you a person that walks in depths of God's love.
So give us a couple of tips on how to walk in God's love.
Well, I think that we just need to just start practicing every day with our words and start looking for opportunities to walk in love, because the devil's certainly going to challenge us to get us to not walk in love, not talk in love. And love is a decision. It's not a feeling. And so sometimes if somebody cuts you off driving down the highway, we can have a feeling that's not love. But
you should have seen me this past Sunday. I spoke at my home congregation. I was on my feet for a couple of hours. We went to a new restaurant, and the elevator wasn't working. And I had to walk up 5 flights of stairs to get lunch after standing on my feet for over 2 hours, and you would not have known I was a believer in the Messiah. I'm telling you, I was so upset with myself, Mel.
Yeah, I can understand. And sometimes I think that things of that nature do bother us, and so we have...
But I'm not going to do that again, in Jesus' name.
We just have to make it a practice that...
It got worse than that. Then after I started complaining and really letting everyone know how unhappy I was, a woman walked up and said, "I watch you on TV all the time." I mean, the Lord knew how to put that exclamation mark on the whole deal.
That's right. That's right.
Tell me, yes, I am so fascinated that in 1984, I mean, this was the real life-changing thing that happened to you. Tell me about the visitation from Jesus.
Okay, what took place? That was September 28th, 1984, and that was a Friday evening. And one of the things that a person needs to know from studying the Scriptures and from the heart of God is that the word vision and dream is interchangeable terms many, many times in the Bible. If you look here in Job in chapter 33, verse 14 and through 16, it says, "For God speaks once, yes, twice, yet a man perceiveth it not, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and the slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth their ears of men, and sealeth their instructions." So real plain, you know, God loves us so much, and he's talking to us during the day, but we're so busy mentally and physically sometime that we don't hear God, and so he has to wait until our mind and our body is laying asleep, and then he gives us a vision, a dream. And the Bible calls it a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and the slumberings upon their bed. And so very obvious, as well as by looking at the Greek and the Hebrew, that many times the word dream is interchangeable with vision, and the word vision is interchangeable with vice versa, dream and vision. And you see that even in Jesus' life was saved, and Jesus was the Messiah, and he's the most important thing that humanity, or the most important entity, person, that is needed for the blessings of humanity, and his life was saved 6 times. You see it just in the book of Matthew, the first 2 or 3 chapters, just because somebody, the Jewish people, they knew that dreams, there were dreams that were actually spiritual encounters, that they were having a vision. And so his life was saved because of dreams. And so anyway, September the 28th, 1984, I went to sleep at night, and so I had a vision, and in this vision, I saw Sunday morning service, and there was a lady that I don't remember ever being there before, and her name was Maureen, a redheaded lady, and I could take you to where she was sitting, and while I was preaching, that Jesus, in this vision, walked up and touched my right shoulder with his left hand, and I turned around because I was sort of shocked in this vision that while I'm preaching, somebody's going to touch me. And I turned around. It was Jesus, and had a smile on his face. And then he looked at me, and he told me, he says, he told me the lady's name, and he told me what was wrong with her. There were some female problems. And he says, "Now, Mel, if you'll pray with your whole heart," he says, "my anointing will always go into her." or going to people, I'm sorry. And so when he said that, there was volumes of information. So when Sunday morning came, it was real easy. All I did was just copy what I seen done. The lady was sitting right where Jesus said she was sitting. I asked her to come forward. I asked her if that was the problem that she had. She had that female problem. She said yes. I prayed with my whole heart exactly the way Jesus said. She was instantly healed and been healed ever since.
Now, you find that when you teach people, and we have this special CD in which you really amplify the teaching that you do in your book, where you go into detail of what Jesus revealed to you. And I've had other people say this, Mel, that when they have an encounter in heaven or they have an encounter with Jesus, it's almost like they remember very little of it, but it was downloaded into their spirit. And as they need this information, God just brings it to remembrance.
I guess with me, the more I think about it, the bigger it gets. I have never forgotten in detail. If I was an artist, I could draw a picture exactly what Jesus looked like, his exact words. He said very few words, but it was amplified. When he spoke to me, it was just like, truthfully, I could have written a book in 500 pages, but I try to be just, I want to be conservative and get right to the point and make it simple for people to pick it up. And my teaching, an 8-year-old child could pick up this book, read it, and have the same.
As far as I'm concerned, this is going to answer the question you've been asking God. What is preventing me from having the answers to my prayer, like I hear on It's Supernatural or Messianic Vision? And this book is so simply explains how to release the anointing and see the instant miracles. And it explains why many Christians have continual loss. We're making the CD and book available for a donation of $22. The book is called Releasing God's Anointing, the CD, How to Pray with Your Whole Heart, which just gives further depth on releasing God's anointing to pray with your whole heart. Both available for a donation of $22. Call it right today. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.